Blog Talk Radio.
Hey!
Welcome, everyone.
What's going on?
Sex Talk with Derek and Tina.
In full effect, baby.
Woohoo! So what's been happening, Derek?
Ah, boy. Where do I start? Where do I start? Tina's making sure I button up here. I'm getting ready for the show, starting to dismantle myself here.
Oh, it's hot in here.
What?
Oh, what's that song? It's hot in here.
So take off all your clothes. Yeah, that's a good song, right?
It is a good song.
Absolutely. So, let's see. Been having great sex. It's all right.
So amazing, Derek. It's so awesome.
I'm going slower.
Congratulations.
I'm going slower.
Oh,
right? You know, there's a part of me as a man that just wants to put it in the hole and thrust.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah, but I do realize that I'd like my girl to achieve orgasm. So by going slow, both of us are happier.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kicking off sex talk. So.
Well, you know, it is really interesting because sometimes when I've, you know, it seems like I am the sex healer. So even in relationships or sometimes with clients and I talk about it or in relationships I might actively do it. But that going slower thing can be really powerful. And even for men.
Yes.
So I don't know if you've ever tried this or not, but you know, as you're, a lot of times when men and women both are getting close to climax, we tense up sometimes. You know how our body sometimes like,
I'm going to shoot.
Right? Yeah. But if men or women, right in that moment where your body wants to like tighten up and you want to like, tense up.
Right.
Intentionally relax your body. Like, intentionally relax. Now, you know, for women, sometimes that might be a little easier than sometimes for men because you have this, like you said,
right? I just want to shoot it sometimes.
So, for men, though, if you can do that intentional relaxation in your pelvic area instead of tensing up, you'll feel a little bit different in your orgasm. Now, it could also mean that it extends it a little bit, like maybe you don't come immediately right then, which can sometimes be good anyway.
But
you can also just relax into the ejaculation rather than tensing into the ejaculation with their release. You relax into it, and it gives a whole different feeling.
I like that.
Yeah, maybe you can try it out.
So, you know, like what I normally do before the point of climax, I start counting numbers.
Really?
Right? And instead of going forward from 1 to 10 or whatever, I count backwards from 20 or 50 all the way down to 1 because psychologically our mind
So you're plays slowing a different it person. Down already.
I'm slowing it down because, you know, really what – drives me to the point of orgasm is when I see that my girl has left cum on my shaft.
Okay, sorry. All right, is this funny? I mean, we're all about adult sex talk here.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Okay, I'm still like a 12-year-old mentality that I'm going to laugh. Like,
oh my God.
You said, you know, sorry for my 12-year-old laughter there.
But it's okay, it's the visual. Right, the visual of seeing her come on me, right? It's a factor. It's a factor.
And then you count. So now when you're counting, relax into it.
Yes.
Like you're going into a meditation. You meditate, so like this time, relax into the counting instead of counting down to
count.
Blast off.
Right.
Counting off to blast off. Relax into blast off.
Yeah, I got that. I'm going to try that tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah, you don't know it yet, but.
Well, tonight, if he's listening.
It's going down.
Yeah. You know, there's always like little things like that you can do. I think the more in touch you can get with your body, like you said, you know, you're counting down, you're doing things. It really enhances that experience, right?
Right.
You know, really be in tune with your body. That's why we're here at Sex Talk with Derek and Tina. And make it okay to talk about your body.
Right.
Even if sometimes we laugh.
Absolutely.
Okay. Get the laughter out, but talk about it because it's important and it can really enhance and deepen your sexual experience.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes, it can deepen the sexual
deep.
Experience. And you know, it's okay to be a 12-year-old about sex, you know, because
it
keeps us young.
It does.
Right?
That's you know, years ago, I was dating someone, and I made a comment about going barefoot, and I was like, oh, I really can't wait to go barefoot and do this. And he says, what are you, 10? I said, yes, thank you.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, you want to stay young.
You want to stay young.
Stay young.
Have lots of sex.
And have lots of fun.
You know, Tina said something to me earlier, too, that there was a Trojan commercial?
Yeah, just on the radio on my way here.
Be an adult and wear a condom.
Yeah, it's a, can you believe, and it's some, I think it's a famous person, because he said his name, but I don't remember who it was. And it's something I'm like, you know, people are just having, are not even thinking about it, and just having casual sex and not using condoms and not, so it was more not like if you're in a relationship with a partner and you know the stuff.
Okay.
But like you're having casual sex, you don't know about STDs, unwanted pregnancies are pretty rampant. They happen very easily. And he's like, be an adult. Put on a condom. And I was like, yeah, that's so great.
But you know, Tina.
Yeah.
I don't really hang around people that have STDs.
How do you know?
Because I know the circle of people that I hang around with.
But
no?
You don't even know.
You're not buying that one?
No. No.
Oh, come on.
No, not at all, Derek.
All
you
my
do
friends.
Not know.
All my friends are clean.
No, they're not.
Really?
Guaranteed. 100%.
No way.
Guaranteed 100%.
I just can't go bareback
to
some random chick at the bar.
No.
That I mean?
No. I wouldn't. You can. It's your choice. I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, so you're not taking away my choice.
No, I'm not taking away your choice. I thought the commercial was a great commercial.
Okay.
I'm not taking away any choice. What I'm guaranteeing you, though, is the people that you know, there are people with STDs in the circle of people that you know.
No way.
Yes,
no,
there are.
I just can't
because,
imagine.
Derek, STDs are so common.
What?
The majority of people have been exposed to an STD. Some curable STDs, some incurable STDs. Hey, have you ever known anybody with a cold sore?
Yes.
That's herpes. That's an STD. Now, most people get it from kissing. Their aunt could give it to them, kissing them when they're a little kid, whatever. So a lot of times, if someone in your family has, everybody in the family gets cold sores. Like in my family, nobody gets cold sores. But they are herpes, and they can be transmitted sexually. Oral sex, nipples, anything.
Ass to mouth?
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Someone's got a cold sore, it's on, you're going to get genital herpes.
So if they have it on their mouth.
Yes.
But if I go down on their butt, I won't get it. But if they go down on me.
Yes, you could get it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So cold sores, even though they're a different strain of herpes, there's like all kinds of herpes, right?
Okay.
It's a different strain. You can contract it any part of your body.
Okay. So did you hear that, guys? If she's got a cold sore, don't kiss her mouth. Kiss her butt.
Yes. There you go.
All
there
right. Tina agrees with me one time. Okay. One time on Estimab.
Right.
You heard it here.
Okay. So that's one STD that is the most common STD out there, and the majority of people have it and don't even know it because it's not always considered an STD, but it really is, especially the way people have sex today. So there's also gonorrhea.
The way that people have
syphilis.
Sex today.
Like, a lot of times you think you're safer, so you're going to do oral sex because you're safer.
Right.
It's not really safer if someone has cold sore. So in the last probably, 20 years, the incidence of herpes has gone up and up and up and up and up, partly because of that. There's more and more oral sex, sometimes as an alternative to intercourse. In addition, just because people like oral sex.
We love oral
sex. I know oral sex is
we
so great,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
The texture.
Yeah.
I love the texture of the labia.
So you've got HPV, which is genital wart.
Young girls get that a lot, right?
It's very common. Yeah, it's becoming more and more common because people are having unprotected sex.
Is it just from the amount of sex that a person
no.
has?
No. You can get an STD from the very first time you ever have sex. Just like you can get pregnant from the very first time
get out of
you
here.
Have sex. Yes.
Really?
You can.
From the very first
time? Very first time.
Breaking the hymen and you can get
an STD and get pregnant and your from your very first time. Boy, won't that be a nice memory, right?
Wow. And unless it's anal sex. At least you knocked down one of the two, right?
Right.
Because you can't get
not,
pregnant anally.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It could be possible because if there's no condom and the semen is dripping down and then it drips in and then you use a finger or something else, it could get pushed up in there.
Really?
Possible.
So the sperm doesn't die as soon as it hits air?
No.
Wow.
Oh, come on. You know, people, you know, what do you do that? Spew in a cup and then they
spew in a cup? That sounds like a coffee shop.
Sorry, they come in a cup and then
spew in a cup.
And then it gets used for artificial insemination. Sperm doesn't die, it's alive for a long
time. Oh my
days.
God, I did not think of that.
So, you know, women have to, you know, women who pay attention to when their periods are, you know,
okay.
They
ovulation
know their cycle.
And stuff. Okay.
Ovulation, because the sperm can live for a few days even in your body, you don't want to, if you know when you're expected to ovulate, you wouldn't want to have unprotected sex for a few days before and a few days after, because you're fertile time is actually multiple days, and because the sperm can live in there, you got to account for the sperm living in there.
Oh.
Also.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
You can stay alive.
You're breaking my heart.
Because
okay.
this is sex education. You know what? Here's the thing. People don't talk to people about this stuff.
Right.
But
I'm
they
clueless.
Should be.
I'm clueless.
They should be talking about this stuff all the time.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
It is my belief that I'm having great sex if I don't wear a condom. I'm going bareback.
Okay.
Right? I meet this hot chick in the bar. She's got the nice big bosom, the fluffy hair, right? The Pat Benatar shirt on, right? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Right?
Okay.
So if, like, great sex is the passion, right? It's like thrusting in without worry. It's like seizing the moment, carpe diem. But now if I have to stop and go buy a condom, what if she's turned off? What if she changes her mind? You know, like, those things are very disappointing.
Well, here's the thing. Casual sex probably doesn't give you the best sex. Occasionally, maybe it does. But if you do it all the time, it's probably not the best sex. But you don't
Could
get
you repeat
to
that? Casual sex, what?
May not be the best sex.
Oh, my God.
It could be occasionally, but think about it. If you know somebody, then you get all those worries taken care of. You already have talked about conception prevention. You've already talked about STD status and testing.
And ask to mouth. Right?
And hopefully you have these conversations. Or you've gotten to know people. You know the parts of their body they like touched best. They know what you like. And so it gets better and better as you know somebody.
So
now,
are you an advocate for monogamy then, or do you believe in multiple partners?
You know me, I'm a multiple partner girl.
Oh, I was going to say.
But that doesn't mean casual sex. Like, I've done the casual sex thing when I was young, promiscuity and all of that. But,
wait a minute, you can have multiple partners, but it not be casual?
Well, yeah.
Tell me how.
Well, for example, one person that I know, one person that I see date, whatever. I've known for like 7 years.
Really?
But it's not monogamous. I guess it would be considered somewhat casual, but it's not like stranger sex, which I have done, which sometimes is very hot. I'll totally admit it.
Right.
But you're taking your chances. You're taking your chances every time. Now, here's the thing. Now, if you become educated and practice all these things like me, want me to tell you a secret?
Please.
Okay. So a few years ago,
listen up, people.
I was on a train.
Whoa.
Okay, I really love to take train places. It's really fun. So I'm on a train, and there's what I call the party car. And the party car is where you're up on the second floor of a train, and it's, like, got different kind of seats that view out. They're not, like, line of seats.
Yeah.
And you've got all glass, so you
can
see everything. It's like the observation car.
I call it
the party car. Generally, people are up there talking to people. They're not just by themselves. They're usually talking to people and all that.
You must take those long train rides out west.
I do sometimes.
Okay. I got that.
So this gentleman is on the train, kind of cute. And I was thinking to myself, I could totally do him if I wanted to. You know how you like think that? Like you're kind of flirting with people, you're drinking some beer, whatever.
Sure.
But I also have safe sex on my mind, always.
Do you?
Always, yes.
Really?
Yes, always. So, we were like fooling around a little bit, kissing and stuff. We did go to the handicapped restroom. Right?
Well, it's a lot of room there.
Yeah,
right.
They're huge.
Yeah, right.
But here's the thing. Not going to have oral sex with him. Not going to have intercourse with him.
What?
Yeah, no, he's a stranger. I'm not going to do that.
What are you having?
Touching each other with our hands and kissing and making out. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But it was totally hot. Like,
woo! I'd be like, please. You know what? I would just drop down to my knees and start licking her.
No. No, I'm not going to allow that. Because I'm going to be practicing safe sex. So I don't do that.
But
oh, yeah, he wanted to do more.
No,
I'm like, we don't know each other.
There's no cold sores on his mouth.
No.
He's clean. Good
but
looking.
We don't know if he's clean. There's no cold sores on his mouth, but who knows?
But
I'm
you
not
can't transfer
do
any other diseases through your
mouth.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not a total expert. I did used to work in the San Francisco Health Department as a volunteer, and I would go to sex clubs and do
Kink
do...
Armory. Shout out to Kink Armory, San Francisco.
Oh, and the Power Exchange.
The Power Exchange. Oh, I missed
that one. San Francisco,
yeah. I missed that one.
It's really hot.
Is it amazing?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm hanging out in there, fully dressed, and talking about, oh, we're doing STD testing up on the floor. And blah, blah. So I was educated a little bit in, you know, STD stuff.
Okay.
But I'm not an expert by any means.
Okay.
But, so, I had a lot of fun. It was totally hilarious and great. But I didn't have intercourse, and I didn't have oral sex. Not me on him, not him on me. Because,
really?
Yeah.
He just missed out, didn't he?
No, we both had
you're like,
awesome.
No!
No, there was no missing out. It was, like, totally hot.
Wow.
In fact, I even, okay, this is a super secret. I cannot believe I'm going to say it on the air. But, you know, female ejaculation.
Yes, love it.
It happens just totally spontaneously. Just because I think it was the excitement of a stranger on a train.
You know,
like the orgasm was still really hot, even though just using hands.
So
you don't have to do, you can have safer.
Did you tell
sex.
Him? Did you tell him that he accomplished this goal?
Oh, everybody knew that. Maybe not everybody.
Meg Ryan? Right?
Yeah, like,
okay.
Swoosh.
Nice.
So. You can do the. I'm sharing this very personal experience that hopefully none of my family is listening to right now. But I do that because you can choose consciously on your mind, have safer sex as an option, and still sometimes get caught up in a moment. But if you are practicing consciously, thinking about these things about your body, then you can still make choices that are healthier. Now, they're not perfect, you know, but
they're
healthier options.
And, you know, it's so interesting because I've practiced a multitude of religions. And so the way that I go about a partner is I would leave it to God. I would leave it all to the spiritual world. And, you know, I have not had a disease.
Well, then, there you go.
I've not had multiple children, you know, and so all these things. So, you know.
So you're using your intuition as well a little bit. Like you're attracted to people who are in that frame of mind, which is another that you're still kind of doing the same thing, but you're doing it in a different way. You're attracting and asking for that spiritual attraction of looking for good experiences, not bad. You know,
dear
so you're
Lord,
still law of attraction, right?
Right. I wanted to have a large labia. Right.
Ask and you shall receive.
Exactly, and I want her to be healthy, you know. And so I realize that that's not for everyone. But on our Facebook page, we did post several that deal with sex rituals and sex magic. So in the event, you can combine a little bit of what Tina is talking about as well as me. You can have the religious aspect, but then you can use your common sense.
Yeah.
Or not your common sense, but you can use practical suggestions.
Yes.
Tina uses contraceptive,
conception prevention 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can't rely on that. So right now, okay, this is going to be getting honest. If you're a woman in your late 40s, early 50s, you'll understand. So I'm in perimenopause, which means my body is about to transition into menopause, right?
Okay.
So I have no idea when my menstrual cycle is going to occur or not. I can't follow an ovulation chart anymore because it's totally random.
Okay.
Some months, you know, I go 2 months without having any cycle, and then I'll have 2 in a month. So my body is in this transition stage. So I can't even practice that looking at the calendar. I can't even do that. I've also developed an allergy to spermicidal gel, which is conception prevention number one.
But is your reaction to it from high usage?
Maybe, heard it here, people.
I don't know. That's what I understand. If you do it a lot, you get a reaction to it.
Now I'm allergic to spermicidal gel. So, so I can't use that. So I do carry it with me at all times because I don't mind the allergic reaction. Because what if a condom breaks?
Right.
I'm using that spermicidal gel. I don't care. The allergic reaction is worth it, right?
Right. Yeah,
for conception prevention, kill those little suckers.
Right.
Okay. But the idea of it for most women of like childbearing range, conception prevention is a really great tool. You follow along with like your, you know, monthly cycle.
Okay.
One, spermicidal gel. Two, condom. Three, pull out anyway.
You mean so, I have to miss out on the contracting of that labia and that vaginal cavity?
Yeah.
On top of wearing a condom and spermicide?
Yeah.
Is there any fun left in sex anymore?
For me, yeah, there still is. Now, see, because I'm so open-minded that there's so many other experiences.
Oh, I'm closed-minded then.
But if a man has had a vasectomy, which are my favorite men, then, you know, we don't have to worry about that last piece of the spermicidal gel of pulling out. Because all the sperma dead. Men with vasectomy.
Attention, all male callers who have vasectomies, call in to Sex Talk with Derek and Tina.
Tina loves you.
Tina loves you.
Yeah.
So, you know, from the standpoint of helping to increase the energy and the passion of sex, right? Because sex is an amazing thing, right? And so, again, I'm encouraging our listeners to definitely go to our Facebook page and look at some of these ritualistic sexual practices that could energize and replace the fact of any restraint that you may have from using conception prevention, right? It sounds so ominous.
Right. Well, you know, it's important for many people to prevent unwanted pregnancies. So you do what you do. And here's the thing. It's like people think like, oh, I can't do that. Why the fuck not? It's your body. Right? It's your body.
I don't want you wearing a condom.
Right?
So some women do that.
And
now, let's be real.
The only time when that conversation comes up, it's mostly they say that their guy doesn't want to. And I always say, well, that's your choice. But if you want them to, you tell them to practice using one until they're comfortable with it. And it feels like.
Never met a woman that wants a condom used.
Oh, my God.
Never.
You told me that before, and it just totally blows my mind.
Maybe
just they're afraid
I'm,
to say something.
Maybe it's I'm so good-looking. I don't know.
Maybe.
Right? But
I
I've never, ever, ever met a chick that wants to use a condom. And, you know, it's not a guy. I would want to use a condom because I am, as one of our callers said, a sensitive man, right? I'm sensitive. I'm mindful, right? But, you know, I think that it does take the conversation piece, as you said, right? You need to talk about it. But in that 5 minutes of conversation, you could miss out on a raging erection.
You mean you're talking about strangers again, right?
Yes. Going back
now, see, I'm older than you, too.
Just
there.
By a little bit.
I know. Just
oh, my God. So now you know I'm the baby of this, too.
I don't know. I guess everybody has to think about it differently, you know, their body and their choices. But whatever you believe and think, honor it. And don't let other people talk you into something or out of something simply because it's what they want to do or not do. So really, I think the stronger you get in your personal self-love, you know, your personal connection with yourself, the stronger you're able to have those conversations with your partners.
Whatever you feel, believe, what did you say?
Well, whatever, you know, like your personal beliefs, if you have a stronger relationship with yourself, you're going to be able to better communicate what you want or don't want, desire, not desire, in your relationship. And a lot of people fully express their desires, or if they have a conversation like what we're talking about, they would never do with their partner. They might with their girlfriends or their guy friends talk about some of this stuff, but they won't talk about it intimately with their partner because they're like maybe fearful of what people might think. If I talk about this, are they going to not like me? Are they going to want to go find a girl who wants to do whatever or not
do? Do you think women feel that way a lot?
Oh, 100%. Yes, they do.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do.
So what do you think we could do with men to kind of open up this communication? Because really, you know, and I don't know if a lot of women know this or not, but a lot of men deep down inside, we desire to make our female partner happy or our partner in general, right?
Right.
And so, you know, we want to know, like, what's going to allow you to achieve the big O, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so if that's being open or wearing a condom or using spermicidal, you know, tell us. Because at the end of the day, if the goal is for you to be satisfied.
And I think it's both parties. I think both men and women sometimes have a tough time talking really intimately with their partners.
Okay.
I think both parties do.
Can we do something about that?
Issue.
Like what is it?
Keep on talking about it, I think.
I think we need Fresh Talk with Derek and Tina t-shirts out there.
Woohoo!
Right?
We do!
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we, you know what the other thing we could do? Is we could even host live conversations with people. I used to do it in another facility a few years ago.
Okay.
And it was just like a monthly let's talk about sex conversation. So, you know, I did have a couple people who were partners. Sometimes partners would come in. Sometimes it might be all women.
Okay.
Because I'm a woman, maybe sometimes there were more all women because I'm a woman. But if a man were hosting, maybe there would be more all men. Or you could have a ladies' night and a men's night because sometimes people are more comfortable talking about those things with other people. Or another night that could be just couples so that they could talk about those things.
Oh, okay.
You know, I do some coaching with couples, Love Fest, 40-day Love Fest for couples.
Ooh,
that
40
really,
days.
Really, yeah. So it really talks about some of those, you know, some of those things that can really deepen your relationship and your own intimacy with yourself, which then creates more intimacy in your relationship. It was funny. I went to a bridal shower this past weekend, right?
Okay.
And one of the things they had is that write on this little card your best advice to the bride, right? So what I wrote is one of my exercises from 40-Day Love Fest for Couples. And what happened is that other people would read them, and then the bride was supposed to guess who said it. I'm telling you, it was so funny, because the bride's mom is like, she's like, oh, I knew who that is. I guess she knew it was me, but the bride didn't. She's like, oh, you haven't talked to Tina enough. So what I said is, like, you could put your hand on your partner's heart. This is, like, good of marriage advice for these young couples. Well, actually, they're not that young. They're in their mid-30s. Put your hand on each other's heart every day and say, I love you and thank you for something specific, you know.
Wow.
Or you can put your hand on your heart, I love you and I'm grateful for you because.
Wow.
But you do this every day is one of the exercises. Because part of the Love Fest practice is to say something nice to yourself, to gratitude for things in your life, you know, acknowledging yourself. But you can always also acknowledge your partner. So I don't have them do that right away. Normally they are doing the self one for like a week or two first, and then I add in, now how about honoring each other in that.
Thank you for the great head.
Yeah, totally.
It could be anything, right?
It could be anything, because they be the I love you and thank you for,
And, you know,
and if you're in a relationship where you're not saying love yet, you can say just, I'm grateful for you for, or, you know, thank you for, and you still put your hand on your heart. You don't have, if you're in an early relationship, you're not saying love that. You still develop that intimacy.
So it's the intention, not necessarily being a wordsmith.
Right.
Right, because sometimes we feel a little awkward if we don't have the right words.
And and this is because it's a practice you do every day for the rest of your life.
Okay.
You get
that
a little deeper. It's not just like the big stuff. I love you because you're so kind.
Right.
It can be like, I love you and thank you for taking out the garbage.
Oh,
you know, because it really gets into the present moment. What in the present moment in your daily lives is, you know, you just recognize each other for those things.
That's awesome. I'm going to try that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if before or after sex, but I'll try it.
No, you don't want to do it in sex. This isn't about sex. It's just like, it's like maybe, you know, after dinner, during dinner, you know, whatever.
A Tinder moment.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what, I love you. Or you could do it at the beginning of the day when you're getting ready to go out and do your thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
So and closing out the segment tonight, we want to pose you with a question that was kind of raised by Tina And we want to leave you with the thought of asking yourself, what do you want out of your sexual life?
Mm.
What do you want from it? It's whatever it is, but you have to put it out there. And we believe that, of course, you know, when you're honest with yourself and you listen to your heart, follow your intuition, you will be able to make the best choices possible.
Mm. That's beautiful, Derek.
Well, I was inspired by you, Tina.
Oh, well, thank you.